Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay,
thank you.
Can you pronounce your last name?
Yes, it's Stefanowski. Stefanowski Goldsmith.
Okay.
But you know what?
All
I'm
right.
actually known by most people as Lydia the Lawyer. That's it.
Lydia the Lawyer. Okay. All right. So welcome to the show talk with Angela Butler, Lydia.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to
You're
be here.
You're my second queen.
Oh,
Diane.
Really? Who was your first?
Diane. okay. Last year's queen.
Oh, okay.
So I believe she crowned you this year. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being Miss Corporate America?
I have to tell you, I've been having the time of my life. It has been exciting, doing appearances, parades, being a dignitary, dealing with politicians. It's been just such a great year thus far, and I can't believe it's actually coming to almost an end because the competition's actually March 1st in Orlando, Florida, and I will be turning over my crown, but it's just, you know, you blink and the next thing you know, but I've had a great year. I've had a lot of fun. I've been able to really, I think, have an impact in many different ways on a lot of different people. So it's been really extraordinary.
Okay. That's great. You sound like you had the time of your life. Okay.
although people do say, just, you know, you could put me in a brown paper bag and I'll have a party, so.
Okay. All right. Why did you decide to compete in the pageant?
Well, it started out that a dear friend of mine actually is a former title holder from several years ago, and I was kind of doing a little bit of LinkedIn, social media searching, and I came across her name, and I saw this title that she had acquired, and I went online, and I took pageant, and I said, what a great platform for women who are professionals, who are in business, who, you know, work in corporate America or have their own businesses, but who also want to, you know, feel beautiful, be beautiful, and celebrate and revel in their fabulousness. So
right.
I thought, what a nice balance, what a nice mix, instead of a more traditional beauty pageant, which you know, or also they do focus on interview and whatnot, some of them. But this one, I thought that the fact that the criteria included that you had to work in corporate America, be an entrepreneur, own your own business, or have some type of a business background. So I thought that was just so tremendous, and just celebrating women who work hard. And, you know, I happen to be Mrs. Corporate America, and there is also a Ms. Corporate America. And so I'm, you know, the representative for married women, and I am the voice and image of women in corporate America today. So it's really wonderful. So that was just why I just thought it would be a great opportunity to meet like-minded women. And I happen to very much enjoy being girly girl.
Okay.
I work Yeah, well, I work in an industry that has been predominantly, how do I say this, I guess dominated by males for many, many years. I'm a litigation attorney. I'm a trial lawyer. And, you know, I just thought it was great that I love to celebrate the fact that I am a woman. And I always found that, you know, there's kind of a double standard because when men dress up and wear a nice suit and they do their hair and they look good, they're just considered handsome. But if a woman walks into court and they look pretty and they, you know, their hair is done and they look a certain way, then they have this sometimes, you know, a stigma attached to them, like, oh, you know, look at her, you know, like, look at she possibly does. So I thought there was kind of a double standard, and I love, love showing people that that's just not the case.
Yes, okay. I don't know if you remember all the questions from the pageant, but I have some of the, I have all the questions that I asked you during the interview process.
Oh, okay. Look at you. I don't even have those, so you're going to remind me.
Okay. One of the questions that interested me the most was, tell something interesting about yourself. Do you remember your answer?
Oh, boy. At that moment, it could have been one of 100 things. It's tell me something interesting about myself. Well, I mean, if you're just, you know, I'm talking off the cuff right now, but one of the things that I find interesting in myself, aside from, you know, being a black belt in karate and teaching women's safety awareness and being the founder of a not-for-profit, the National Organization for Women's Safety Awareness, I grew up probably a little bit differently than a lot of other young girls, you know, who grew up on Long Island, suburban Long Island, where I was taught all about survival skills and how to fish and how to hunt. But in particular,
that's
I remember the catching the eels.
Yes.
Catching the eels at low tide, and it was funny because we'd have this big net, and my dad would hold, so imagine this, you have this big brown net, and there's these two poles, one on each side. My dad would hold one side, I would hold the other, and I would be barefoot in this black mud up to my, like, belly sometimes in this mucky water, and there were horse flies and crabs, and, and I would kind of, you know, my dad was like, don't drop that net, you know. So we'd be walking and catching eels and crabs and, oh, my God, it was really disgusting. But I guess, you know, sometimes I watch some of these reality shows and I say, I'd be so good at that. You put me in Survivor and I'll do great because I've done this before.
Well, so
that's a little bit unique about me.
that was the answer,
the right answer
about fishing and the eels and the flies the size of 747s. Okay. Horse flies, to be exact.
Yes, horse flies, because they bite. They're worse than
mosquitoes.
They're these big, you know, green flies that attack you.
Okay. I thought that was very interesting. Okay. You are a lawyer. When did you decide that this was the career for you, being an attorney? When did you decide this?
Oh, boy. Well, so truth be told, I finished college. I graduated from Hofstra University, and I was working for Estee Lauder at that time. Again, I guess I always liked the glamour world, but I loved my job. I was actually offered a position as an account coordinator, and there was just something inside me that said, oh, I don't know, I just don't feel like I'm finished yet. So I decided to take the LSAT, which to this day I don't even remember taking it, but I took the LSAT. And I applied to one school, St. John's University School of Law, and I applied to a 2.5-year program, which only had about 65 students back then. And lo and behold, I got in. So it was either teaching, you know, being an Estee Lauder rep, going maybe to Club Med and teach windsurfing, or law school. And so I got in, so I became a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I joke around about it. That is literally how it happened, but if you really break it down, I think that it probably started at a much younger age because just to really, really go back, when I was 13, I was a victim of a sexual assault, and it was a difficult time I went through, and I think that that changed me. And I think I said to myself at a young age that I never wanted to be a victim again, and I think that probably it changed my course. And even though I joke around and there were a lot of options, I think I took that path where and I made decisions that would help me achieve that goal. So I knew that I would be financially secure always and not dependent on anyone. That's why I got my black belt. I wanted to be physically secure and never be a victim. And I kind of went through my life like that. So that's the background story. But I think deep down inside it was just because I just wanted to always know that I can take care of myself and be independent and never be a victim.
Yeah, I understand that. You've been a victim of sexual assault. I can imagine that it gives you more security to know you can protect yourself with karate because you're a black belt, as a matter of fact. I read in your bio.
And I'm still training, yes. And I actually do teach a program, and I just gave a seminar not just last week. And the beauty of it is that, you know, I just take it from a different perspective. I don't teach self-defense. I don't teach martial arts. But what I've done is I've taken the principles and certain techniques that I've learned over the years, and I've applied it to, you know, the lifestyle of a real modern-day woman where, you know, you have a briefcase and you have stilettos on, and I've coined certain self-defense moves like the stiletto stomp and the brutal brush and the handbag hurl. And what I do is when I describe the avoidance and how to, you know, not become the victim and how to avoid, you know, situations and whatnot, I talk about, you know, an acronym like DIVAS, and each letter obviously represents a separate word that is a reminder, like D, you know, distraction, don't be distracted, I, intuition, and so on and so forth. You know, it really, it just changes you, and I have such a good time doing it, and like I said, my perspective is different because I've incorporated, you know, hey, we're going after work, you're taking a lunch break from your job and you're in Saks, and,
okay,
you know, you walk into the parking lot, and I think women can really relate to me on a different level because I'm not, you know, rolling around on a sweaty gym mat and teaching, you know, specific techniques from jujitsu or whatnot. I'm just like telling them, look, stun, run, get the heck out of there, and that's your goal. So it's not to square up and win and fight. So.
Now, you have a lot of things that you have did, and I'm going to try to cover as much of it as I can.
Sure, sure. Shoot away.
Yeah. I just want to say you are a very busy woman. And believe it or not, I became tired after reading about you and your bio and the question, you know, the things about you. I thought, Lord, I'm tired. She's got me tired. But I realize now that you have a lot of energy. And I understand that now.
Well, I also, you know what happens? I find that the more you do, the more time you have to do things. And aside from being married for, you know, over 20 years now, I have 3 children. My oldest just started college, so I'm down to 2 in the house, so that makes it a little easier. But my middle child, my other son, is in 11th grade, so he's a little more self-sufficient, although there's still, Ma, can you make me breakfast, Ma, can you make me, you know, dinner? And then my daughter is 12 years old. She's in seventh grade. So, you know, there's always something, you know, I have a party this week and we need to go buy me a dress. And so you just, you know, I find that you just have to prioritize everything, you know, and you realize there's certain things that you absolutely have to take care of. And two of my tips, by the way, which I'm just throwing out there is I always say number one is use a legal pad. And I guess that's not just literally, although for me, it's literally, I do use a legal pad. But, you know, even if on your smartphone you have, like, the little notepad that everyone has, just jot those little things down. And when they pop into your head, put them down. And then you go through that list and you see, okay, well, I have a doctor's appointment today. You have to do that. I have a court appearance. I have to do that. And am I going to get that chance to go to DSW to return those boots? No. Eventually you get to those things. But I find the time because I'm very good at prioritizing. So,
okay, very good at prioritizing. Okay. you also have your own law firm. After working with some other companies, you now have your own law firm. I was wondering, how long have you had your own firm?
Oh, boy. Well, what's good about what I do is I have my own firm. I think it's been probably, oh, my goodness. And just so you know, this isn't the first time I've had my own firm. I've had it for, you know, I've been practicing now for over 23 years. So over the course of my 23-year career, there's been times that I've been on my own. But the most recent time, because you know, when I had my kids were smaller, at one point I worked part-time for a law firm, and that worked for me then. And then as, you know, they got a little older, I became what's called of counsel to one firm. And then once that finished, I said, okay, you know what, there's a lot of work coming in that I'm doing. So that's when I established my own firm, I would say about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So that's when I was on my own. But I still do continue to work of counsel to a number of law firms, which gives me so much flexibility because I can do a court appearance, I can argue a motion, I can write a motion, I can do whatever I need to do. And sometimes if I'm working for them, I get the benefit of, you know, their secretarial staff, their phone calls, their, you know, their everything, their letterhead. I just send something over and they print it and process it, so it makes it a little easier.
Okay.
We get paid less money, but but still, it's very nice. It's very convenient, so I enjoy that very much.
All right. Okay. You also are a public speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know what is the name of your nonprofit organization and what is the platform that you choose?
Well, the speaking, there's a couple of things I do. I do a number of speaking engagements. One of them I just mentioned, it's my stylish safety program, so I do seminars and I do speaking in that regard. I also do quite a number of keynote speeches, inspirational, you know, type of speeches where I will be asked, for example, at St. John's University, Molloy College, I'm asked by colleges, I'm asked by, you know, women's groups, and to basically talk about, like I said, when I was describing my childhood, sometimes, you know, it's very engaging to kind of give a little description of the way I grew up, and I was a little Polish girl. Polish was my first language. My parents, you know, survived World War II as children in Poland. And, I mean, those stories are just, they're priceless. I mean, my mother was taken from her village, from Poland, brought to Germany to be in a, you know, forced labor work farm. And my grandfather was taken to dig ditches for the German army. So fast forward, and then after many years of finally the war being over, and then they were in a refugee camp, and eventually they could work and everything, and the sponsors got straightened out, and she came over to this country on a ship, the USS okay. General Black, and she still remembers the day that my grandfather, whom unfortunately I had never met, but he put her on his shoulders, and they looked at the Statue of Liberty, and he said, look, in Polish, of course, look, we're in America. It's the Statue of Liberty. We're home. And, you know, this is my mother. This isn't, you know, far removed from all of these generations. And, you know, I think that in and of itself, people see that I came from very humble beginnings. And my dad was a construction worker, and he worked really hard. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and the three of us were only 16 months apart. I'm one of three children. And you know, they did the best they could financially and in every other way, and they certainly instilled certain principles and morals and characteristics, I guess, if you will, that we still all have. I'm a lawyer. My brother's a doctor. The other one, you know, was a geologist and whatnot. And then I kind of talk about how even though I had the fairy tale life, what appeared to be the fairy tale life, at one point in my life, this was several years ago after I had my second son, you know, I had the husband, I had the house, I had everything, but the bizarre thing is, despite appearances of having the perfect life, I was miserable. I wasn't happy because I lost myself. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't physically active. I wasn't doing anything for myself because guess what? I was doing everything for everyone else, for my kids, for the house, and I forgot about myself. And I think that when people realize they see you as a certain role model and they see you as this professional who is successful, but then you explain to them that, but I'm a real person and it wasn't always like this. And then I explain to them how I got from that, you know, bottom of the barrel where I was miserable and depressed to actually, you know, lifting myself up by my bootstraps and getting to where I am today. And you know, it's reality, it's real, and you know, we're not invincible, we're all human beings, and appearances could be, and perceptions could be very, I don't know, I guess not always what they appear to be. So, I do those type of speeches and speaking engagements, and that's pretty much what I do. So, I enjoy
that too. But you also have a non-profit that
yes.
you speak to women. about?
I do. I do. Well, the not-for-profit is the National Organization for Women's Safety Awareness, and the goal and the mission of the not-for-profit, the 501c3, is to raise awareness about the violence that does unfortunately exist against women, and also to educate women and teens about how they can live safer lives. And it's as simple as that. And we educate communities through various safety initiatives. There's quite a number of them, but just off the top of my head, a couple of them include, for example, the awareness has to, we do fashion shows and we have events at universities, and we do, sometimes I volunteer my time and I actually do seminars for women and mothers and teens and whatever. We trademark the name called Voices for a Cause. And, of course, the voices being the many different voices that exist. So we have designer voices for a cause, golfing voices for a cause. We're going to have a karaoke night coming up for other types of voices. And what we do is not only do we, again, raise awareness about what is going on out there, because, you know, you can relate to what I'm going to say.
Yes.
When you're a victim of a sexual assault, it affects you in so many ways. Number one, you feel embarrassment, or at least I did, and I was young. I was 13 only when this happened, and I didn't tell anyone for many years because I felt like I did something wrong. And well, if this happened, I was afraid. I was nervous. I didn't want my father to literally, and I don't even mean this figuratively, but literally kill this man because he could, you know. I didn't want the violence to continue, and I had a feeling that if I disclosed what happened, that it would perpetuate that. And it changes you. It really does. It changes you in a lot of ways. And I want to make sure that if I can help even one woman, young woman, teen, girl, older woman, senior citizen, it doesn't really matter. But my focus, because of how, you know, the age that this happened to me, I feel very, I guess, you know, my heart goes to the teens. And I want to make sure that they're taught certain, again, principles or just little tips that they maybe one day when they're on a date, that maybe they'll remember something I said, and maybe they'll just do something a little different and make a better choice and avoid a victimization. And then I know that I'm being successful. And the ironic part is that I'll never know how effective I am, because if someone thinks of me, unless they tell me, if someone thinks of me and they're not a victim, then it's not a statistic. Therefore, I'll never know how good I actually was. I really do, you know, feel very strongly about the charity, and we have, like I said, a number of initiatives. We have a slap bracelet initiative, the IB Safe, and we're trying to get the acronyms and schools and to get involved. And we established Teen Personal Safety Awareness Week in the state of New York, which is November 1st.
That's
through
right.
the 7th. Yeah, and we're doing it nationally also, so that our goal is to take that week and basically tell the schools, look, take this week and use it and have poster contests and have speakers and have, you know, discussions and maybe have someone come in and talk about these issues, because schools, I can't speak for every school, but I know my kids, they're not taught about their personal safety and how to take care of themselves. And, you know, a lot of focus is on bullying, which I think is important. But I think it's also important to talk about, I guess, the taboo issues, which have to do with sexual assault and violence. And
yes.
for some reason, unfortunately, some people are afraid to talk about these things. They don't think their kids can handle them. But look,
that's
you know,
true.
You know as well as I do, that's you have to talk about those things. And
yes,
the parents, yeah, and the parents need to know. All right, so you can talk to them in a certain way and maybe use examples, use stories. You know, we're actually working on a few books. We're trying to do a DVD, and we're trying to make it so that it's intimidating. We're not trying to instill fear in anyone. We're just trying to, again, raise awareness, and hopefully some better decisions can be made, and maybe the statistics will stay lower. So. That's our goal.
I'm glad you're taking it national. All right, listeners,
yeah.
You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mrs. Corporate America, Lydia, and that's what I'm going to call you.
Lydia the lawyer is good, too. that's become my name. As a matter of fact, I'm developing a show that's going to be, it's in the works right now. It's in development. It's called Ask Lydia the Lawyer. court and reality TV show. So it should be fun.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it's going to be really exciting because I think that women, particularly women in business, they deal with so many legal issues every day. You don't even realize it. And whether they're married or single, I mean, there's sometimes issues with family law and divorces or even just a real estate transaction or even a will or estate planning or their parents are sick and, you know, they're in a car accident, their workers' comp. I mean, there's so many different legal issues that affect you every day. So I want to focus on, you know, incorporating not only legal issues and educating, but incorporating a woman's lifestyle. You know, again, my whole focus has really been on, you know, celebrating women and, you know, smart, stylish, vibrant women and their fabulousness. And women have to realize that, you know, getting it all and having it all is one thing, but they also have to enjoy it all. So that's kind of become a little bit of my motto about, you know, getting it, having it, and enjoying it all. And I inspire women to, you know, check their ordinary at the door and be unique and be a wonderful person and live the most remarkable life they can. So that's kind of what my other business, which is called Everything Lydia Incorporated, has just morphed into, you know, providing thought-provoking, educational, inspirational, again, speaking engagements, seminars. I had a radio show that I recently gave up, now the TV show, lifestyle products. I have a new product line coming out, but I can't tell you the details of it yet because it's such a big secret, though, but it's going to be coming soon.
Okay.
And in conclusion, I want women to realize it's okay. It doesn't matter if you're a professional. You can live with great style and personality, confidence, elegance, and have that little panache, if you will, that distinguishes you and makes you unique.
We're going to go to break. We're going to go to break, and then I'm going to come back and finish the interview with you.
Great. Sounds terrific. Okay? I'll hold on. All right. Thank you.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provides barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540, 1-855-379-2540.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Our guest is Mrs. Corporate America Lydia. Name Lydia.
Yes, that's me.
That's you. Now, I have to ask you, you've already said that you were a black belt.
Yes.
Was the road to becoming a black belt hard? Because I read that you became a black belt within 6 years.
Yeah, well, for me, it was time. It was a time factor because it depends on your schedule. I had little kids at home. I actually gave birth to my third child while I was training for my black belt. So I had to take a little bit of time off. There were times that I could only train once a week, and there were other times that I would go to class four times a week. So you just have to put your time in. Sometimes if you take time off and you have an injury or whatever the case may be. So it took me perhaps a little bit longer than maybe other people. And some people may even take longer than me. But I earned my black belt in 2004. My daughter was born in 2001. And I started training when my middle son was only a year old. So I've been doing it for quite some time. And even to this day, I continue to do some form of martial arts and boxing and really just trying to get out there and continue being physical and being active. I think that's so important.
Okay. Have you ever met Anissa King?
Oh, Anissa, yes. I met her actually. The first time I met her was at the pageant, which was, you know, obviously last year. It was the end of February, beginning of March. And Anissa is a very inspirational, lovely, sweet, kind woman, and she is such a hard worker. And the Mrs. and Ms. Corporate America pageant was her her brainchild, if you will. And she felt very strongly about, I guess, really exactly what I did when I went onto the website. And I thought that what a great way to just recognize and honor not only professional women, but the achievements and everything that they do and for communities, for their families, for business, and just getting a bunch of women to come together and just have time of their lives. So aside from me, once I won the crown, oh boy, that was really extraordinary. But just that weekend, I would so highly encourage anyone who is even remotely interested in participating in the pageant and being a contestant. I mean, look, I'm going to be very honest with you. It's really not about winning. As much as it's wonderful to win, it is. I'm not going to say it wasn't such an exciting, wonderful moment. But putting that aside, it's really about the journey. It's about the experience. I still communicate with women that I met that weekend, and we still have, you know, we exchange pleasantries on Facebook, and once in a while there's a text or whatever the case may be, and the memories are just really special, very, very special.
Yes.
So, you know, I highly, highly encourage women. And you know what else it does? You know, I don't know if people that don't know beauty pageants, and again, this one is a little bit different because it's not just about quote unquote beauty. The interview, because you had asked me questions from, guess, my sheet, that, you know, you walk into a room, and it's kind of, remember the movie Flashdance, where she walked in and there's like a table of judges sitting? It was kind of like that.
Yes.
Not quite as intimidating. And you walk in, and there's just a bunch of strangers who don't know who you are. They have a little bit of information about you, and you need to pitch yourself and sell yourself, and that's really something, again, that's not an easy thing to do.
Takes,
and
a lot of self-esteem and confidence, and I know what you're talking about in Flashdance. That's Jennifer Beal, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's intimidating, but you need to try to not only answer the questions coherently and effectively, and you know you don't know these people, you don't know what. It's not a right or wrong answer that you're necessarily going to give them, but they can shoot out anything. And I remember off the top of my head, one of the questions that stands out in my mind is one of the judges had asked me, he said, what do you think is one of the biggest challenges that women in corporate America face today? And I remember looking at him and I said, I wish I had a dollar for every time I walked into a conference room and I was asked if I was either the title closer or the court reporter. And they looked at me and they were like, wow, yeah, I got it. And I said, I think perception.
Okay.
And I think that's how you and I started this conversation this evening, where I said, you know, it's okay for a woman to still be a woman and want to feel beautiful and want to look a certain way and feel good about herself. And whatever that means, that's not to say that what I do and how I dress and who I am is going to work for every other woman. But my point is that if that's who you want to be and you want to dress beautifully and feel good and be confident and do your hair and and wear makeup, it's okay. You shouldn't be judged for your appearance, because that has nothing to do with what's up in your head, your education, who you are, because, you know, no one knows your life. And again, no one knows where I came from. They see me as this, you know, successful attorney, black belt, you know, kicking butt kind of woman. But like okay. I told you earlier, they don't realize that I went through my struggles. I have my story. And I remember there was a gentleman once, he said, you don't know my life. And they don't know my life. They don't know what we went through or what anyone, and this is just me I'm talking about, but I think every single woman has their story. And I think it's so important. And that's why a pageant such as, you know, Mrs. and Ms. Corporate America, it's so good to be able to share that story with the world, because you really are. Yes, you're sharing it with the judges, but, you know, as the title holder right now, that's what I'm doing. I'm sharing, inspiring, and I'm, you know, and I'm telling women that not only is it okay, that you should be that way, you should be who you are. Yeah, so like I said, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. Yes.
Yes, and also it takes a woman that is confident, has a high self-esteem to do what you did with the pageant. Okay.
Right.
Were you nervous doing the Mrs. Corporate America pageant?
Well, I had my moments. But
okay.
But I guess, you know what, the fact that I am a trial lawyer and I'm a litigator and I've been doing this for so long, a lot of what I do is I present myself in front of a judge, in front of a jury, and I think that, and, you know, doing speaking engagements, because I've been doing speaking for quite some time, I think that perhaps that was, for me, that was beneficial. And I also, I guess I'm a little older. I mean, I'm going to be 49 years old, and I think
you don't
that...
You by your photo.
Oh, thank you. Well, I have good genes. I have to thank my mom for that one, my mom and dad, because they have great genes. But, and, you know, that's another thing, which we'll talk about later, but, you know, doing Botox, I haven't done any of that yet, Botox or any fillers or anything like that on my face, because, you know, for me personally, and then we'll get back to the whether I was nervous, I promise you I'll answer that. But that's, I will. I'm good at mental multitasking.
Okay.
But you know, look, more power to you. If that makes you feel more confident, it makes you feel better, and it works for you, then I have no problem with anything like that. But I think women, unfortunately, sometimes they start getting a little nutty and they don't realize, oh, you're starting to look a little freakish, so maybe you should stop.
Okay.
So right. I, you know, I'm not ready yet, but one day. But I want to bring your attention to this. This was so great. I had the best time.
Okay.
There is a fitness wear component to this competition where you have the opportunity to wear any outfit you choose that is, you know, that you think at least is flattering to you, and you're allowed to use a prop. So what I did, of course, is since I'm a black belt, I had studied katas and I know how to do nunchucks. So I came out and I put silver duct tape around my nunchucks, and I had little silver little platform sneakers, and I had a little black outfit. And
okay.
I came out and I did a little nunchuck routine. And you know what? It was just so much fun. And I think that, well, I did win the best fitness wear, you know, that award as well, which was just, I had the best time. And I think that the key is about having fun. You cannot fake fun, because if you're out there and you're nervous and you're out there to compete as opposed to you're out there to enjoy yourself and showcase and highlight yourself, I think that's what distinguishes one person from another. And the women who were genuine and really having a great time and enjoying themselves, I think that they're going to always do a little bit better. So was I nervous? Not particularly, but there were my moments where I had my little shaky shakes. So I think everyone gets that no matter what. I would be lying if I said there
normal.
Were a couple of butterflies.
I know it's normal to be nervous on a pageant. All right. I don't know if you remember this question, but the question was asked during the pageant contest. If you could meet anyone in the world, who would it be? Do you remember your answer?
I might have said, I think I love the Supreme Court Justice, Justice Sotomayor.
Is that what I wrote?
But she is extraordinary, and I think that one of the reasons why I would love to meet her. And you know what? She actually spoke at a law school on Long Island, and I was really sad that I didn't get the opportunity to meet with her and to speak with her. But she has a similar background to mine in that she is the daughter of immigrants, and she did not get her anything. I was going to say her life, but she didn't have anything handed to her on any platter, much less a silver platter. And she worked really super hard, so hard to get to where she is today. And, you know, sometimes women talk about the glass ceiling and breaking glass ceilings. Well, I think that women like her, they're not just breaking the glass ceiling. I think they're showing that there maybe there isn't one. You know, we just have to work really hard, and anything is possible. And she's just such proof of that. So I very much admire her and her diligence and her dedication and her discipline. And I just love listening to her, and she just seems so fair. So that would be one person I would definitely love to meet.
All right. So you've did a lot of things. You're very successful. You've even won a pageant. And I think it's great what you did with your life as a lawyer. And everything, and I congratulate you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It means a lot.
They picked the right one to be a winner.
Thank you.
So this is going to just about conclude the interview.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for having me. And if I may, I really welcome anyone who is interested. You can either Google Mrs. Corporate America or Ms. Corporate America. But the website is MISSCorporateAmerica.com, and you know there's plenty of information there. And I would love to see anyone participate. And if they want to reach out, you know, to me, they can go to your website and get my name and reach out to me, and I can be more than happy to get them or give them whatever information. And they could speak to Anissa King, who's the director, of course, of the pageant. And
it's just the head of it, yes.
I'm sorry?
That's Anissa King, yes. I was just saying she's the one who started the pageant.
She's the director and wonderful lady. And I would just say that it's such a great experience. It's not a typical beauty pageant the way maybe some other ones are. And it's extraordinary. And it really, if you do have a platform or something you stand for, in addition to representing and being the voice and image of women in corporate America, you have the opportunity to have an audience. And, you know, I was just in a parade on Fifth Avenue for the Pulaski Day Parade. I mean, how many people are on Fifth Avenue in New York City driving down in a convertible as a dignitary? And, you know, I certainly encourage anyone who's interested, at least get some information, become a contestant, and we'll see you. It's actually in SeaWorld. It's at the Renaissance Orlando Hotel at SeaWorld, and it's going to be the weekend of March 1st of next year.
Oh, okay. That is great. And thank you for giving that information. I was getting ready to ask that. So I thank you, Lydia. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you, Angela.
And
I appreciate it. And I hope to be in touch, okay?
Yes, that will be fine if you get in touch with me. That's fine.
All right, Angela, thank you. Have a good night.
You're welcome. Yes,
okay,
have a good night.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Listeners, you have been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest is Miss Lydia from Mrs. Corporate America, and she gave the information about how you can go and compete in the pageant or find out information about the pageant. She said go to Miss Corporate America website. So I hope you've all enjoyed Show Talk with Angela Butler. I thank you for listening, and I hope you have a nice night. All right.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.